Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It is the Disruption Zone, but it's not just the Disruption Zone. This is episode 100. Cameron Mills joining me on episode 100. You know what happens when you get 100 episodes of a show, right?
Yeah, you're syndicated.
You're syndicated.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for Netflix to call
I was going
to
say, I think that just is television, though. I'm not sure how that applies to radio. But I'm glad to be back for the 100th episode.
Yes.
I was on episode, I believe, 1 through 13.
Yes.
And then was diminished in my role within this company.
I did not fire you.
And but then I've been brought back. I've just got bigger and more important things
that's
to
what,
do. Clearly,
that's what it is.
Yeah, and
that's
so I. But I would not miss episode number 100.
I'm glad to know that we're that important to you. Lots going on in the world today. We're mostly going to talk about fun stuff today.
Okay, good.
But I want to start off with this: the Aunt Jemima changing the branding, I guess, for Aunt Jemima syrup, maple syrup.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are upset about this, and I'll be honest with you. I can remember when I was a kid going through the grocery store looking at the Aunt Jemima pancake syrup and going, I hope that's actually a real lady named Aunt Jemima who sells pancakes because otherwise it feels kind of racist.
Yep.
I remember that as like a kid. I remember that. And I just think people that are whining about Aunt Jemima changing their syrup are not going to convince anybody of anything.
Yeah.
I'm cool with them changing it.
I am too. Which is funny. Here's the thing. When I looked at that old syrup bottle, now you told me they changed it 10 years ago.
It's been changed like 15 times over
the years.
Okay,
so clearly they're trying to keep the original brand to some degree, but the reason I'm assuming they've changed it many times over the course of however many years that's been a product is because they start to realize as we get more and more aware of some things, they look back and realize, oh, this looks bad.
Right.
You know, but I will tell you this, my perception, and you had mentioned a couple other brands. You had mentioned Mrs. Butterworth. You had mentioned Uncle Ben's.
Uncle Ben's Rice.
Uncle Ben's Rice. It's another perfect example of that, of what I assumed as a child. I assumed as a child when I saw that product branding on the store, I assumed Mrs. Butterworth was Aunt Jemima. I assumed and you could call it ignorance, you could call it innocence. I assumed that was the lady who owned the company.
Right.
I didn't know about companies like, I don't know, Kraft and Procter & Gamble and, you know, but originally I assumed it was okay. There was this lady who
named
had just
you,
had
you the, thought named Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, I thought her name was Jemima. She and honestly, I don't know that I don't know that I saw her as an African American woman because it's a dark syrup bottle. But that could be just because the syrup is dark.
Right.
Right. So I don't know that I knew. I guess I probably
you're probably
could
just
assume,
thinking that's some damn good syrup.
Well, honestly, that ultimately is probably what I thought, but and it wasn't even that Andy because I don't know that there's bad
syrup.
Well,
did you know she has a connection to Kentucky?
I did not know. See, I don't know any of that.
Okay, so the bottle, the Aunt Jemima, original Aunt Jemima was based. This comes from the Courier Journal. It was based on a lady named Nancy Green, who was a Civil War era slave from Mount Sterling, Kentucky.
Wow,
she was the inspiration for the first Aunt Jemima.
Inspiration meaning they had her model for this?
There's confusion about
this.
Okay. I've had people on. I put up a thing on this about Facebook, which is what kind of spurred my decision to talk about this today. Because I don't care that they changed it, and I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like that it was a stereotype as opposed to someone marketing their own brand that they were profiting from. Right.
Yeah.
If there's a black lady named Aunt Jemima who has the best pancakes in the world and wants to like make millions of dollars off of that brand,
that's
more power to her,
which is what I guess.
But
I
if
assume.
We're just co-opting someone who was being oppressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
To create this meme that's based on stereotypes, freaking change it, man.
But what would be the reason? Because, again, these are products that people want to sell.
Right.
So what would be the reason that this lady Well, let's take Uncle Ben, for example, because you were telling me about Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, I always assumed Uncle Ben's rice was, okay, there was a African-American gentleman with a mustache.
Right.
Who developed this boil and bag rice technology, created it, probably eventually sold out to a Kraft Foods or whoever
happened.
Owns it now. That's what I was. Now, that may not be the case, but that's what I assumed.
Right.
And so I've never, and I think part of it is education of, okay, and what you said earlier. So what was the real story behind
well,
that?
Well, okay, so like with Aunt Jemima, I don't know the real story.
Okay.
Like I've gotten conflicting stories as to whether or not this woman, like maybe she was freed and then after that she started a business and then somebody took that and bought the brand from her. I don't know if that happened or not. What I do know is that if you look back at the original ads for Aunt Jemima, it is incredibly racist.
Yeah.
I mean, incredibly racist. And it was built entirely off of stereotypes that were popular at the time. Uncle Ben's, apparently, I read this yesterday, is apparently modeled after a guy who was an African-American waiter at a restaurant owned by two white guys.
Okay.
They're the ones who came up with the rice.
Okay.
They used his picture.
Yeah.
And at that time, the society called, a lot of times would refer to older African-American gentlemen as uncle in order to avoid giving them the basic human respect of saying mister. So, right? So, there is literally some racism steeped in that or in the origin story of that.
But what's interesting about that,
and by the way, the Mrs. Butterworth apparently is modeled after the Prissy, who was the slave in Gone with the Wind.
Okay. So, but what's interesting about the Uncle Ben's thing is, okay, so there is a racist story behind its beginning.
Apparently.
But here's the thing. When you grow up in the era that you and I grew up in or are still continuing to grow up in, I didn't know the word uncle was ever used as a pejorative to diminish the humanity of an African American man. Never.
Right.
This is the first time ever hearing of that.
Right. I was
so when
of
I looked
too,
at the packaging,
we would have people that were close to our family.
Yeah.
That we would refer to as uncle and aunt.
Yeah.
Because we felt endearment
close to them. Yes.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking is that to me, calling someone uncle is a endearing thing.
But at that time, it was not.
Thing. But see that. But that's what I'm saying is that. So I think part of the good that's coming out of all this mess, is that there is some further education going up because, okay, we were talking about a few minutes ago. Let's look back at some examples of movies, okay? And I mentioned It's a Wonderful Life earlier, but I don't know if that because it's been forever since I've seen that. But there are things you can go back and watch some movies from the 50s and 60s, and there are clearly some moments of just that make you cringe now in 2020.
They captured a moment in time.
Yeah, because that's what was appropriate, what was seen as normal, and what was seen as okay. And you look back on them now, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you mentioned Goldfinger.
Goldfinger to me, because, okay, so on my radio show, we do this thing where I take Hunter Mitchell.
Which you can listen to on WLAP and...
WLAP.com is where I tell people the easiest place to watch it, to listen to it is.
Yep.
But you also can download it and podcast it at CameronMillsRadio.com. And we're on 11 affiliates all over the state. But so we're doing this thing where we take a millennial, a 23 or 24-year-old Hunter Mitchell, who was my intern and now is a fantastic photographer, but he's very ignorant of the great movies of the 80s and 90s. And when I say ignorant, I mean hasn't even heard of many of them, like Animal House, like Spies Like Us, like Blues Brothers. Hadn't even heard of them.
Right.
So a couple years ago, we decided, okay, this is going to be your education. We're going to show you these movies. You're going to have to watch them, rate them, synopsisize them, and then we're going to quiz you. And if you get 70%, get a cheeseburger. Well, this summer, we're doing a Summer of Bond. And so he's having to go back and watch the great James Bond films. And this past weekend, he had to watch Goldfinger. And there's a scene in Goldfinger, as there are in many James Bond movies.
So bad.
There's a scene that is about is it makes me cringe watching it, where James Bond's he's got his bathing suit on. He puts on this little kind of over wrap. He sends for a waitress or something, or an assistant or something. They're in Miami at a pool. He orders a drink or tells her to go do something. As she walks away, he just smacks her on the rear end. And I remember watching, because I hadn't seen Goldfinger for years. And when I watched it the other day, I was like, Oh, wow.
How did your millennial react to that?
Man. Well, you know what? I don't remember him bringing it up.
Okay.
But he did say he liked Goldfinger far more than Dr. No, which was the first movie.
Can you imagine a scene like that in a movie today?
Well, that's the point, is that, I mean, a scene that wasn't there ironically or wasn't there.
Right. It was just part of the movie.
Or wasn't on the reason anything that this is how we are in this day and age.
Right.
No, I can't imagine that. But so that's part of the good that is coming of all this. And that's part of how it should be, is that, okay, because of how we're getting and we are growing. See, the thing that bothers me about all this is I'm not saying we're where we should be. I'm just looking back on where we were and thinking, please stop saying things are worse than they've ever been.
Right.
They're not worse than they've ever been.
And I don't want to be clear here. I'm not supportive of cancel culture. The idea of canceling everything because it might offend us, or a lot of times you got to let the free market sort that out.
Leland, let me ask you this, because you brought that up earlier when we were talking about the movies, right? Changing the movies, right? Okay, let's take that scene in James Bond, or let's take a scene that was created in a movie in the 60s or 70s, and because of its very clear depiction of racism or something,
right?
The idea of, oh, we've got to edit that out. I don't like that. It's not that I like that. I like, because to me, what it shows is it's a reminder to me of, oh, look at where we were.
Right.
Look at how bad things were. Look at how normal that attitude was. And look at how personally I feel about it now. It bothers me. And to me, that's indicative of growth personally.
Yes.
Because let's say 20 years ago were the first time I saw, and I keep bringing up It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know that It's a Wonderful Life has any great depiction of racism or not, but I just keep thinking of it, because the last time I watched it, I remember there were some moments that I thought, oh, they wouldn't put that in a movie today,
right,
even though it may not have been racist in nature. But I think the point is I don't want those things changed, because I think it's important that we look back and remember, wow.
Yeah, I think,
look where we were.
Well, here's the thing.
It wasn't a good place to be,
selling,
look where we are now.
If you're selling pancake syrup today that's based off of an image that was, if you go back to the Courier Journal story, Aunt Jemima, it says there was a lawsuit filed in 2014 by the descendants of Anna Harrington. She was the model that they used for Aunt Jemima after Green, who was the Kentucky lady, claimed Quaker Oats and the parent company PepsiCo made false promises to Nancy Green and Harrington and exploited the pair, who they say were critical in creating the pancake mix recipe. Unfortunately, the lawsuit was thrown out. But anyway, the point I'm making is there's a very big difference between going back and looking at movies and saying, hey, look at how far we've come, and selling a product today in which a person was exploited in order to create the branding for it. So here's my overall point. I don't want to get too lost in the weeds on this.
Okay.
I just want to make this point. What I believe is that every American, regardless of your skin color or where you come from or what your background or what your religion is, I want every American to feel as though they have the same level of optimism towards achieving their American dream.
And opportunity.
Yes. And I want to convince as many Americans of this fact as possible, that capitalism is the best way to do that, to lift people out of poverty.
Yep.
And if there is something that, like, when I see people jumping up and down whining about them changing the Aunt Jemima logo, and I go, dude, how are you convincing anyone that the idea of freedom and liberty, et cetera, is the best way to move the country forward? How are you unifying the country by arguing, no, we should keep Aunt Jemima on the package? I just don't care. Just move it. Get rid of it.
I think it's a matter of where you pick your battles.
Yeah.
Because I think part of the reason some people want to fight that fight is because of the offending culture that we have. Everybody's offended about everything. And I think that has gone so, and not necessarily I think it does happen in the racism conversation.
Right.
But it's gone so over the top where everybody's offended about everything, which gets into cancel culture, which is, you know, somebody did this, so we're going to call the television station and we're going to threaten to boycott their advertisers.
Right.
And so the TV station's only course of action, so they think, is to fire the person that made a mistake in something they said, whether they meant it or not.
Right.
That's the over the line nonsense part that bothers me. But this is something that, look, the taking down of the Civil War statues, okay? Here's the thing. I don't know that that in and of itself is going to change anybody's heart. And to me, that's what matters in all of this, is that racism is not going to be changed politically. It's not going to be changed by having no police departments. It's not going to be changed by President Obama or President Trump. It's going to be changed in me. And that goes for all 340 million of us in this country, is that, and let's say 7.35 billion or whatever there is in the world, is that if there's not going to be any racism, if that's the goal, if the goal is for us to see each other by the content of our character and not by the color of our skin, if that's the goal, that changes in my heart. And that starts with me looking internally and saying, is there any part of me that is stereotypical, that is judgmental of someone based on the color of their skin? Or do I truly see, am I colorblind? And the reality is, you can say, and look, I think this varies. Some of us are more colorblind than others. But I think all of us, if we're honest, if we truly will do some self-introspection, I think we will all find some racism in our hearts that needs to be extricated.
I don't disagree with you. And in fact, what I've taken from this is I see an opportunity here in all of this mess.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. There are elements within, like, I support the protesters that are peaceful. I don't support anarchists.
Right.
But there are things in this that have even caused me to stop and take stock and say, wait a minute, let me think about this. I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast. He had Jocko Willink on. Mm-hmm. Jocko Willink, retired Special Forces guy, American
gets up
badass.
At 4:30 every morning.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yep.
And he made some really compelling comments about, you know, how we should react in situations like this. Is listen, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I happen to support and believe that most police officers get up every day and want to protect their community.
Yeah.
But I also want to, you know, like, for instance, the Minneapolis Police Department, there's probably something really corrupt going on there when you have a guy who can sit on a guy's neck while he cries out to his dead mother for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and four other cops who don't do a damn thing about it.
Yeah.
Right. There's a problem there.
Yeah.
So I think in order to deal with this, disbanding the police is not the solution.
Right.
But we must listen. And we must hear, you know, because the people in that community are saying to us, we have an issue here, and there are American brothers and sisters, and we need to listen to them. Now, maybe they don't have the right solution, and maybe we don't have the right solution, but we will never know what the right solution is until we listen.
Well,
and if
said.
An Aunt Jemima syrup bottle or a Jefferson Davis statue in the rotunda in the people's house
that important
is getting in the way of us finding that unity,
but
freaking get rid of it. I don't care.
But it's not getting in the way of us finding it. It's the removing of it that's getting in the way. From this point only, is that that's what keeps some people from saying, okay, if I can argue about this, I can say, oh, how dare you remove, that's part of history. That's part of, you know, the Confederate flag, you know, how dare you? Because if I can argue that point, then maybe I don't have to make the painful look in my heart and say, wait a minute, what's going on with me? Because we would always, all of us would rather look outside of ourselves than internally. But looking outside of ourselves will not solve this problem. Looking internally, let's take this cop. Okay, this cop, and look, I don't know if this was a racist thing or not. What I do know is this was a prideful thing, okay? Because what I believe...
And a malice.
Yes, but what I believe is this.
It was evil.
That that cop subdued this gentleman, okay, had his knee on him, and if you watch the video, you've got several people videoing it and watching it, yelling at this cop saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And here's what a prideful man does, or a prideful person does. I don't think it's just men.
Right.
It's
just, keeps
it's
going.
Just human beings. Pride is, oh, you're challenging me?
I'll
watch
stay
what
right
I
here.
Do. I'm staying right here. I have the authority to do this. That's what happened. Now, maybe it was racist. Maybe this cop did it because it was a black gentleman. But to me, what's clearly obvious is the other surrounding officers were afraid to correct him publicly.
Right.
The other officers were afraid to take a stand in that moment. And the people, when they started saying, what are you doing? Now that cop has a decision to make. He can either say, okay, I am doing something wrong and I need to relent. I need to repent, to use a biblical word, and I need to adjust this, fix this, and say, yep, the way I was doing it was wrong. However, because it was public and those people were yelling at him, his response was the opposite.
Yeah.
It was to double down, because that's when pride gets in the way. And not to just quote a Bible verse, but that is why pride comes before a fall.
Yeah.
Because when my ego is more important than doing the right thing, that's when we are going to do stupid things.
Well, and I think that's why you say we need to listen to that community in Minneapolis when they say we want to get rid of the police department. That's probably not the right solution.
Yeah.
But you want to listen to them because there's got to be, as Jocko said, there's got to be some truth in there to the fact that there's something so bad in that community that this is the reaction to this situation. So we have to listen to each other. And with regards to the statue, the Jefferson Davis statue, the reason why I supported that, my friend Dr. O.J. Olika came on the podcast earlier this week.
Yes,
he made a really compelling case. And the point was, you know, we have Abraham Lincoln in there, and I realize Jefferson Davis is part of Kentucky history.
Right.
But the main thing is Jefferson Davis didn't repent. He chose his side.
It's very true.
And his side was traitorous. His side went...
Was, and that's the key thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Whether racist or not, Leland, it was traitorous to this country.
Right. And so, at the end of the day, when you look at who is in the rotunda, Abraham Lincoln, we celebrate, right?
Yeah.
Hero. Ephraim McDowell, Kentucky medical extraordinaire. Henry Clay, the great compromiser. Right? These are all celebratory statues. And then there's this one guy who said, screw it, we're leaving.
And we're out of this country.
And so I don't have a problem with that. But
But here's the thing, Leland, back to your point, is that it has taken, for some of us, okay, who looked at the statue removals here in Lexington a couple years ago, some of us kind of looked on at that and maybe with a, I don't know, a cautious eye, a bit of indifference. Okay, if you want to, fine. It's neither here nor there for me. The problem was is that at the time I did a bad job of listening to those who said this needed to be removed. Part of my reason was because I thought moving the statue isn't going to change anything.
Right.
The removing of statues doesn't change someone's heart. And I'm sorry, I fail to believe that any president or any politician is going to be able to change if there is systemic racism. Systemic racism comes not from a system, but from the people within that system.
Right.
Therefore, the people themselves have to have changes of heart.
Right.
And that does not happen because a company makes a statement publicly that they're standing against racism.
Right.
It comes from all of us being mature enough to look within ourselves and say, is there any racism in me?
Yep.
And being painfully honest with ourselves to say, yes, and I need to change it.
Yeah, that's well said, because I think there's a difference between virtue signaling and introspection.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, when we talk about statues, for instance, like the argument over the statue like Jefferson Davis is, well, it's a slippery slope. They're going to take Thomas Jefferson. No. An intelligent person can see the difference between the two people, right? Thomas Jefferson was deeply flawed, but he helped to write the documents that forced us to face our own internal hypocrisy over liberty for every man versus a guy who said, screw it, we're out because we want to keep oppressing people, right?
Yeah.
So going back to what you said, a mature person stops and says, okay, there's a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
There must be something that I need to listen to because of this noise. Now, not all of the noise is appropriate.
Right.
People breaking things and burning things and attacking other people, that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
Where's that noise coming from? Maybe I need to do some introspection. Like you said, a mature person looks at it, an intelligent person goes, okay, and because ultimately our goal should be that every American can drive down the road without being in fear, and to have the same level of optimism that they can lift and change their financial circumstances, economic circumstances, social status, etc. So, boy, we went a long time with that.
We did. I know. I think we said we were going to just touch on it and
move touch on it.
But I don't know that you and I ever really just touch on anything.
Nah,
and that goes not just when we're recording anything, when we're just in a car together driving in Arizona.
Yeah.
They seem to be nonstop conversations.
All right, random questions, okay?
Random questions.
What is your Let's Do This song?
My Let's Do This song?
Yeah, when you get in the mood, like, let's do this. Come on.
Oh,
what's your Let's Do This song?
The first thing that comes to mind is Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Ah, I love it.
I will also go with Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I
could sit here and I could come up with 10 if you gave me the time. Go ahead.
God, what is the name of it? It's the theme song to Deadliest Catch. I know that.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I know what Deadliest Catch is. I don't know what the theme song is.
Hold on.
The theme song to Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, I'll Google it. But don't laugh at me because I play it when I go to the gym.
I know, but that's what's funny is when you asked me what mine was, I had to sit there and think, I've got 100 of them. Let's Go Do This song is the song that when I'm doing it comes up and moves me. And it can change, but those are the ones that immediately come to mind.
Right. Bon Jovi, Dead or Alive.
Yeah, Bon Jovi, Dead or Alive. That's kind of the one that came to my mind first.
Boom. That's my Let's Do This song.
Oh, is that yours too? Is that the Deadliest Catch song?
Yeah.
Well, then. That just makes me sound even more brilliant.
What makes you disproportionate? Yeah, because you knew what it was, and I have no idea.
Well, I chose Dead or Alive before I knew it was the theme song to Deadliest Catch.
Oh, okay, cool, perfect. Well, we're there. We're the same. That's weird. What makes you disproportionately angry compared to the amount that is actually affects your life? So what makes you really, really pissed compared to how that actually does have any effect on your life?
Oh, okay. All right. So two things. Basically, you're asking me what my pet peeves are.
Yeah.
So I've got two of them. Number one is people who get on an elevator before everyone who needs to get off gets off.
Yes.
That drives me nuts. And this one drives me even more nuts. And this one I really do have to stop myself from walking up to every person shooting video of their kids' games or of any moment. Folks, there's never been a television set, nor a movie cinema, nor a computer screen that has ever been built in landscape mode. Stop shooting video, in portrait mode. Stop shooting video in portrait mode. Shoot it in landscape mode. Turn your iPhones on the side, make a little rectangle that goes landscape-wise and shoot your video, because that's what's going to fit on your TV better. That's what your phone's built to look like, and that's also what your computer screen and a movie cinemas look like. There's a reason people who created those things created them that way, because your eyes are side by side, not top on top.
Top on top. We would look weird.
Top on bottom, I should have said.
Our eyes would look weird if they were stacked.
It drives me nuts when I see video. When I see news organizations taking video that people have shot from portrait mode and using them.
Stacked
God, eyes. It drives me nuts. It's such an obvious thing, and it should be to everybody.
I would go with, I'm going to go with two, okay? I'm going to go with people who talk in public on speakerphone on their cell.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Because I just don't care about your damn conversation.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And the other one is people who don't put their carts back in the rack in the parking lot of the grocery store.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Just that laziness bothers me, too. I'll give you one more, and this is your phone one reminded me. I used to have a friend who would take a phone, and he wouldn't put the earpiece up to his ear and clearly the mouthpiece down to his mouth, the way 99.9% of human beings use phones when they've got them up to their head, okay? He would put the phone out in front of his mouth so that the earpiece was 5 to 7 inches from his ear. The mouthpiece was right up to his mouth. And I sat there watching him talk in a conversation like this all the time, and I thought, this is clearly someone who has no interest in listening.
Right.
And he is showing it in every effort. I'm the only part of this telephone that I'm using is the microphone. I am not using the earpiece whatsoever.
That's hilarious.
It was an odd little thing this person did, and they did it all the time.
Yeah.
Drove me nuts.
All right, what red flags do you look for when you go out to eat that says I'm not going to eat at that restaurant?
Oh, that's easy. You go to the health department scores.
Yeah, the score right on the
door. Listen, I went to a place, a famous pizza place here in Lexington. It is my family's pizza place of choice every Christmas Eve. We go to church, and we stop at this pizza place. And I'm not going to mention it just because I'm going to run it into the ground here real quick. At least one of their stores about 6 or 7 years ago, I walked in Christmas Eve. They had I think a C-minus rating from the health department. And the moment I walked in, dead cockroach right at my feet. Now, I will tell you, I still got a pizza because the pizza's that good.
Oh,
but
God.
those health department ratings, I don't know when they started doing that, but those are good. Those are helpful
things.
Anything
below an A-minus, I don't go in.
Yeah, I want to see A or A-minus or above.
I don't frequent a restaurant if the host or hostess is rude. Here's my theory on that.
Okay. Well, what do you mean by define rude though?
Just rude and unfriendly.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, just rude. If they're
okay.
rude.
All right.
To
so
you,
what's your theory behind it?
My theory is the people on the very front line get all the crap that rolls downhill from the top.
Yeah.
And that means they're being mistreated by the people the servers.
Could be.
And that means the servers are going to suck at their jobs.
I can see that. However, I would also say this. The people on the front ends of the line are also getting all the crap from the customers.
That's true. But I don't know. It's a thing with
no,
me.
No, I get
I'm
it.
Like,
listen,
your job is host.
Right. Now, that's
that
key.
Is your
and
job.
I, but
your
I don't
only
think that,
job is to smile and be nice.
But, Leland, that goes beyond, and this actually brings me into something that I do, which is teaching customer service in the healthcare industry, is that goes beyond that, because that's the assumption we all make as receivers of care or receivers of a product or a service, is that if the people that directly provide that service to us look like they hate their job, act like they hate their job, act like they hate life, the presumption I'm making is that, well, this company must suck.
Right.
Because clearly you don't like working here.
Right.
Clearly you don't like your job. So what joy am I going to find by having any sort of service from this company?
This is true. And sometimes people have bad days.
Well, sure.
And
yes,
you have
but
to
it's,
allow for that.
But see, that's I will tell you this. But see, you're right. We should allow for that. But most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people, because remember, it's that first impression thing a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that's why, it's, you know, if you're on the front lines of any industry, man, you, if you care about your company, if you care about your, you know, I get it. You're going to have bad days. I have my bad days. But, man, I got to constantly remind myself. I had a friend. I'll tell you a real quick story one time. I had a friend. I was I had my company T-shirt on. Not T-shirt, but polo. We were at the Atlanta airport. We were flying home. And there were four, they had gotten so backed up that this one day, there were four regional jets, Canada regional jets, flying from Atlanta to Lexington. They were three gates apart. The marquee said Lexington, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky. They were all taken off within 20 minutes of each other. I basically missed my flight because I went to the wrong gate. I was supposed to be at another gate. It was my fault, but I was angry because all the flights have been delayed. And this was one of those days where I have to go home. Now, I'm usually very patient at airports because I can't stand watching people lose their minds on these poor people who have no control over the weather, no control over whether or not a plane breaks and we need to fix it. So I'm usually very good. But that day, I started losing my patience. And one of my teammates, and I'm so thankful for this, one of my teammates, I was standing at the gate talking to the lady, the gate agent. And I was just, she could tell Cameron's getting ready to lose it. And so she starts kicking me beneath the counter, just starts kicking me and just says, "Remember who you are and what you do."
That's funny.
And she whispered that, and it immediately, like, I was like, I tucked my tail and immediately was rebuked and correctly rebuked. And immediately, and now I didn't want to hear it, but I had to, because the more important thing to me in that moment was, this is what she goes. She goes, "Cameron, there are people here who know who you are."
Yeah.
Now, that's the Kentucky basketball thing, right?
Right.
But here's what she said second. She goes, "And you're also wearing the company logo on your shirt."
Right.
And that's what mattered.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's very good. All right, next one. You get a $100,000 gift card. You can only use it at one store. Which one and why?
Ford, 2021 Ford Bronco.
No. Are you freaking serious?
You say $100,000?
No, yeah, because
I'm getting two.
Well, see, because I was going to say something very similar. I was like, I'm going to a Ford dealership, and I'm not buying that vehicle.
Why?
Well, I'm getting an F-350 Platinum, which is almost $100,000.
You don't need a F-350 Platinum.
I don't need it.
Are you going to get the dually? Are you going to get the dually? You going to get the four wheels in the back?
Not the dually.
Yeah, you're not going to be that person. Why would you not? By the way, did you see where Ford is releasing?
I love the Bronco, though. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, I can't even. But
have they released the sketches?
You can see what it's going to look like online.
Right.
But here's the thing. Guess what date they're releasing it on? And this is not a joke. This has been reported. My dad told me this the other day. O.J. Simpson's birthday.
No.
Not kidding.
Hold on. The 2021.
The 2021 Ford Bronco is being released on O.J. Simpson's birthday, July 21st, I think it is.
All right. Is this really what it's going to look like?
I don't know.
Fox
I can't
News.
Tell what you're looking at.
You know what? I'm kind of disappointed. Here's why.
Well.
Here's why. I like it.
You don't want one anyone. You want an F-350.
I know. I like the
Idiot.
Bronco, though. I was glad they're bringing it back.
I am, too.
Glad they're
I'm
bringing
thrilled.
It back. Here's why I don't like it. It looks almost exactly like the new Land Rover Defender.
Okay, and
dude,
that's why you don't like it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it would be a little more original, but I'm glad it's boxy.
Well, that's the key. I'm glad you said that. Because
it
kind of
ties
original,
back to the very first Bronco.
That's the very first one, you're talking back in the 60s, and is very, very boxy.
The round light.
But here's what I love about the new one is they are keeping it as Ford Bronco-ish as possible with updated specs, but you can still take that roof comes off. You can turn that sucker into a convertible.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about those Broncos. That's why you rarely see anyone. You see all the – this is what the Ford Wrangler, you see those – or not Ford Wrangler, I'm sorry, the Jeep Wrangler. You see those when people kind of turn those into convertibles. Man, those look so good. I'm sorry, it's a Jeep. It's not a Ford. And I want my Bronco.
Yeah.
And I want my Bronco to look like that.
Okay,
and
hold
it's coming
on.
Out.
There's two different styles that I'm seeing.
There's actually four, Leland. There's a sport version. There's going to be an electric version. There's the main version, and then there's a four-door version, I think.
But I'm seeing two different body styles.
That's what I'm saying. One of them's a mini. One of them's smaller. Oh. I don't know. Well, okay, no, wait a minute. Are you looking at Ford.com?
I'm looking at BillCurryFord.com.
Okay, all right, so I looked at that one, too. That's, I think, the one it's going to look like, but there's two
that
or three different
sweet.
Ones.
Sweet. That doesn't look anything like the Land Rover. If that's what it is, but it says 2020 Ford Bronco release.
Well, so that I assume that's the new one. Here, you need to go to Ford.com or go to Motor Trend. If you go to Motor Trend had, to my knowledge, had the first legitimate pictures of anyone of what it was going to look like. Most people have like conceptual models and conceptual drawings, and they're actually very lifelike. So you think, oh well, that's the new Ford Bronco.
Well,
no, you got to go find the actual pictures released by Ford, because it is out. We do know what it's going to look like. We just don't know when it's going to come out. My point is that what matters to me is, when is it going to be in Lexington or within driving distance? I'm going to get one. More importantly, when am I going to have the cash to go get it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that anytime soon.
If that last one I saw is what it's going to look like, it's badass.
Would you buy that rather than your stupid F-350?
I've wanted an F-350 Platinum for a long time, man.
That's toxic masculinity. That's all that is.
I'm not hanging like a set of balls from it or anything. I mean, it's not going to have smokestacks.
You might as well.
No, I love the sound and smell of diesel.
Oh, the sound and smell. See, I guarantee you'd love the sound and smell of the new
Ford
Bronco.
Who's your favorite TV dad?
TV dad. Oh, you know what? That's hard to say now. Because the gentleman who played him is no longer in great graces, and that would be Cliff Huxtable.
Oh,
yeah,
but that's okay. Again, snapshot in history doesn't mean you think he's a hero now.
The Cosby Show was
funny
big,
as hell.
Big part of my life. It was Thursday night, must-see watching with my family. Family Ties and then Cosby Show, or Cosby Show, then Family Ties, then Cheers. Those were the – and I remember sometimes I got to stay up and watch Cheers, and sometimes I didn't.
Tim Allen.
Yeah.
That was my favorite TV dad
good.
Ever. All right, we're almost done with these. What's the worst smell you've ever experienced?
Oh, dude, I was in the Dominican Republic and on a mission trip. And everybody talks about – I mean, everyone can clearly – it has in their mind what poverty is.
Right.
And poverty is not just being poor. You can be impoverished in many, many, many different ways. But I was with Compassion International, a child sponsorship organization I've been a part of since 2001. And have actually sponsored kids since I was 12 years old. But I went on a mission trip with Compassion to visit their projects in Dominican Republic. And we went to one of the projects, and there was a church that we went into. Now, remember, when I say church, and Leland, you've been on the mission field before.
Yep.
This isn't a Southland Christian church. This is, you know, four walls, barely, maybe a roof, dirt floor, and maybe some benches or some, you know, chairs of differing varieties and types that are all makeshift, maybe some benches. And that's really it. You know, I mean, they're barely held up, but they're church buildings. The pastor and his family lived in a makeshift sort of shack in the back of the church. And so we were in the church and we were talking, and they're telling us about their church, telling us about the difference it's making in this particular project, how many kids come every day and basically are given a education by Compassion National, not just, you know, they're not just there teaching Christ, they're there teaching math and English and history and Spanish and how to read and how to write. And then the pastor invites a few of us back to his shack. And when we go back to his shack, there is this odor that I can still smell in my nostrils today. And it was basically, it was basically sewer. And the reason was because his backyard was the sewer for the project.
Whoa.
And that odor, and I assume at that point he and his family were nose deaf to it.
Right.
But I was not, and I've got a quick gag reflex, and so I'm basically trying to choke down, not vomiting in this poor guy's house.
Right.
Just because of how awful, unbelievably awful it smelled. It was horrible.
Yeah. I don't have a comparable experience to that. I mean, I've smelled sewer before. That's probably the closest to it.
Yeah. 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 Well, it is. That's what it was.
Yeah, but that's probably – I don't really have a comparable one to that because that's pretty bad.
You still got one, though.
What's that?
You still have one, though. What was it? It doesn't have to be comparable. What was yours?
I'm trying to think because I've smelled a lot of bad stuff.
Let me ask this. What's your favorite odor?
My favorite odor?
Uh-huh.
Probably brownies in the oven.
Okay, all right. I'm going with gasoline.
I love the smell of gasoline. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
I don't know why. I'm always like, I get on
my
shoes. I'm like,
so good. I don't think it's an odor that will ever be made into like a cologne, but I think someone ought to try and let's see.
Actually, I want to make a barbecue sauce that's made of racing fuel, rubber, and barbecue sauce from like pit road. Because I remember one time going to one of the big races and walking down Pitt Road, and it was mingling with the smell of barbecued chicken,
yeah,
burnt rubber,
yeah,
and fuel.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh gosh, that smells so good.
I don't know if that odor would come across in a flavor in a bottled barbecue sauce.
I think it would. I can taste it.
Okay.
All right. Real quick, what was your favorite childhood video game?
I always use, in one of the sermons I preach about the Ten Commandments, I always use Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. That would definitely be one. Contra would be another one. And
remember the skinny Russian guy?
Oh, dude, I remember Ball. I remember Bald Bull. I remember, yeah. The hippo one. There was one hippo.
Yeah.
Never. By the way, as much as I love that game, I never got to Mike Tyson. Never even got to
him. I never did either.
I had a friend get to him so I could play him.
Right.
But I couldn't get to him myself. So I'd say Contra would be another one. And then, even the original Super Mario Brothers.
That was a great game.
That was the launch game for the original NES.
Yes.
It's a fantastic game.
I
remember playing that
game for
hours and being incredibly frustrated with it.
My two favorites are Contra and I think it was for PlayStation when it first came out, the James Bond series.
Oh, no, you're talking about GoldenEye.
Yep.
Yeah,
no, Casino Royale.
Sure? What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it came out as a video game.
No, I refuse to believe
Damn
that.
Sure.
No, everyone, listen, you can't, if you talk video games, talk to anyone around the 2000 area, the 2000 year area, GoldenEye came out, and that was a game that everybody loved. I think that's what you're thinking of. I don't think there was ever a Casino Royale video game.
By the way, just since we're doing an episode about a whole lot of crazy weird stuff, your buddy and my buddy, I love him, Rex Chapman, always comes strong with the Twitter game. Did you see?
Yeah.
Did you see I retweeted it, the post he had of the commercial for the trailer sales in Alabama?
No. Dude, I have
I'm going to read you a quote from the commercial.
I've not been on social media hardly at all in the last 6 months. I know. It's been so liberating.
All right. I'm going to read you a quote from the commercial.
Okay.
Quote, "A bouncer in Birmingham hit my face with a crescent wrench 5 times, and my wife's boyfriend broke my jaw with a fence post. So if you don't buy a trailer from me, it ain't going to hurt my feelings."
Wait a minute. This was a script from a commercial?
That's
good.
You have to go to Rex Chapman's Twitter and check it out, or that's mine, good. Where at Leland Show, where I retweeted it.
Yeah.
All right, last thing. Holy man who cured people of COVID-19 with kisses dies of COVID-19. In Ratlam, India, a self-proclaimed holy man who claimed to be able to miraculously cure people of COVID-19 and anything else they might be suffering from simply by kissing their hands has died of COVID-19. The man known only as Aslam told followers that his kiss cure was foolproof and would cure them of all ailments. Unfortunately, Aslam's wonder cure didn't work too well on himself. On June 3rd, he was diagnosed with COVID-19 and sadly succumbed to the disease the very next day.
Wow.
As soon as the news of his demise spread through the community, his followers started coming forward. And as it turns out, instead of curing people with coronavirus infection, his special kisses only helped spread the virus.
How old was he? Does it say?
It doesn't say.
Yeah.
Authorities in Ratlam raced to locate people who had recently used his services. Out of the 40 people they tested, 20 tested positive.
Now, this is where?
Is in India.
Okay, all right. I heard the name. Okay,
I think he was just using it as an excuse to go around kissing people's hands.
Could have been. Yeah. You know what? As crazy as that sounds to me, it's the silliness, but also the desperateness of those people thinking, okay, I just need to be safe.
I just need to be safe. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just thinking in terms of okay,
because
it's easy for us to sit there and look at those people and say, these fools. But honestly, they just wanted to be safe, and yet this guy just
dude. It's no more foolish than some of the stuff I've seen people doing walking into stores in plastic bags here in America. I'm sorry, we've got some pretty desperate people too that are scared to death.
Yeah.
So, thank the media for that. Well, how's that for a 100th episode?
I liked it.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, you're gonna come back for 101, maybe?
If you come up with a decent topic, I might come back. By the way, just want to tell you our friend Jay, who listens over at Evans Firearms.
Oh, cool.
In Lexington, the owner Jay has been listening. Every time you release one, he's like, Cameron, where is it? I haven't heard the latest one. How often is he releasing? So he loves listening to you. Hopefully he loves listening to us, but I wanted to pass that along. I talked to him yesterday or 2 days ago, and he was just saying, when was the last one Leland released? And that was when you released Dr. DJ.
Yep. Yeah. OJ. And OJ Olika. Yeah.
OJ, sorry, I'm Dr. DJ.
Good dude.
Dr. OJ. And so I told him that, well, I think he just released one today. So just wanted to pass it along to you.
Well,
Jay
and
loves listening to you.
Tell him I said hi. I love Evans Firearms. It's a great store. And boy, I bet they're busy right now.
They
Everybody is.
They're incredibly busy.
I am in a business related to the firearms situation, and I can tell you that it is nuts right now. But anyway, say hello to him and everybody else. Thanks for listening. It's super easy to get us. Just download us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and go to iHeartRadio's app and search for The Disruption Zone. And our episodes will be delivered straight to your pocket. We're getting thousands of downloads a week, which is insane to me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. All because you aren't on the program anymore on a regular basis, Cameron. No, we're getting thousands of downloads a week, and that's only possible because you guys are sharing it, and I really appreciate it. We really appreciate it.
Yes,
thanks to Cameron, my co-executive producer and sometimes co-host when he feels like it. Dynamics Productions in Lexington for their help with audio. People are always complimenting the music to this program. That was provided by them. And JP Web Design for their work on our website. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Cameron. Talk to you later. It's the Disruption Zone.